And now, the only show where teens actually know what they're talking about. Yes, they may be obnoxious and may seem like know-it-alls, but that's only because of their immense knowledge of sports. Enough of me. Here are the stars of Teens Talk Sports, Josh and Jesse.
Talk Sports Podcast. I'm Jesse, and this is Josh right next to me. We're here talking about sports, a big sports week. You have the Super Bowl, you have everything else. Be talking
everything
about
I like a Jesse like
everything. You know, it's easier to say the Super Bowl and everything else because it's either
it's that type of week. It's that type of week.
It's like the Super Bowl and every other thing happening.
It really is that type of week. 206-203-0033 is our call-in number.
Or you can drop us an email at podcast@teenstalksports.com. Don't know if you noticed this, but for this show, we have a brand new website.
We've had it since last show, actually. Teens, it's all one word, teenstalksports.com. You log on. You can do a lot of stuff on that website. Find out a little bit more about us.
Yep. You can see what we look like, finally, because... I know you're all wanting to see what we look like, to see our faces. Finally, you can see the two chubby white kids talking about sports on the website. This week, we're going to talk about, right now, Kevin Federline in his brand new Super Bowl commercial for, the insurance company?
This is a follow-up story from last week. Last week, we told that Kevin Federline is in a Super Bowl commercial for a nationwide insurance company. Nationwide insurance company, and this week he apologized to fast food workers for the commercial
because it apparently is detrimental towards the view of fast food workers. But my question is, when was the view of fast food workers ever good? When did I ever say, you know? It's really terrible, those fast food workers. But, how Kevin Federline, how he portrayed them. Because I really have a great...
It's not Kevin Federline's fault. You know, personally, I think Kevin Federline should be working in a fast food joint.
Yes.
Seriously, that's what he deserves. But is there any fast food worker who thinks he has a great job?
I don't know. I think that's the whole mentality of being a fast food worker. Because you don't even realize how stupid you are for working there. And I mean, I understand, you know, if it's a part-time job, that's fine, but... Working there full time, you just got to step back and take a look at, you know, your life. And if you have Kevin Federline insulting you, don't worry about it. He's the same white trash that that's also working at the fast food joint.
Now he's the white trash you see in all these TV shows.
Yeah, you remember the wonderful piece of programming called Brittany and Kevin's show. Remember on My 9, the wonderful channel My 9.
Well, it's called My Network TV.
Nationwide,
it's called My Network TV.
Oh, I'm sorry to My Network Television and their associates. I apologize.
Affiliates, you mean?
Affiliates. See, I'm not so savvy in the TV business.
Associates.
In the podcast business, that's my main field.
Okay, the Associated Press. Listen to this one.
Yes.
This is getting stupider and stupider. The Associated Press. Has nutrition tips for the Super Bowl. And is this necessary to publish tips how to keep yourself healthy at the Super Bowl?
Isn't that the whole purpose? Not to be healthy?
This is like showing a reflection on how Americans are. We know we're fat, so we have to learn by random people writing newspapers how to not eat at the Super Bowl. You know, it's this simple, okay? You eat what... You don't eat, it's not good for you. If it's not good for you, why do you eat it? That's it.
It's because it's the Super Bowl.
It's the exception. And you know, you should eat it's a Super Bowl. Super Bowl should be like, it's the Christmas of all sports.
Yes, you can eat whatever. It's all right to go through 3-4 bags of, like, Tostitos chips or,
not by yourself.
By yourself, maybe. But, you know, you're at a party, you have a couple of, 50 hot wings. It's not a big deal. It's the Super Bowl.
Speaking of things Jesse can't eat, let's get on with the show.
Josh with the jokes. Josh just released a new comedy CD entitled fat and funny. Two things that don't go together well. And it's all about Josh making jokes.
Jesse's a funny kid. All right, is it possible for a month to go by without a Cincinnati Bengals player, without a Cincinnati Bengals player getting involved with the law? This time, it's no other than the quarterback, Chad Johnson.
Chad Johnson's a wide receiver.
Wide receiver, Chad Johnson. I'm thinking of whoever the quarterback
is. Carson Palmer.
Who took some time out from judging end zone touchdown passes at Super Bowl week to be questioned by the cops in a murder case.
Yep.
Exactly what his involvement is not clear, but he isn't talking. His posse, I don't know what kind of posse he has. But
his little posse of other football players, I guess.
It's him and Terrell Owens, right?
Him and T.O., the two guys who can dance.
The two guys I have no respect for in the NFL.
Absolutely not. And this is just another reason why you have no respect for the entire Bengals team. You might as well just arrest the entire team. Because last week we were talking about it. Chris Henry was involved in a shooting.
No, Chris Henry was... Oh, yes, he was. Yeah.
Everybody on that team seems to be involved in the law.
Chris Henry, what was he involved in? Chris Henry was...
Something in the law. Anything, they're
Chris,
all...
Chris Henry, let's pull that up. Chris Henry was involved, he's a Cincinnati Bengals player. We brought this up on the show last week about Chris Henry, how, you know, and that whole Bengals team. We talked to you about that last week, that the Bengals team is just like the team is just like getting more and more pathetic, and it's like it's disgusting with, you know, how many like times you can get arrested. In it was 9 players in 9 months. Chris Henry, 2-day jail sentence, a couple of crimes. 9 players arrested in the last 9 months. Now, if this guy gets arrested, Chad Johnson, this will be 10.
So this is 10 in the last 10 months.
In the last
keep adding it on. Well, Chad Johnson's not arrested, but for him to just be involved in a murder case is just
bad. There
were
4 court cases against Chris Henry last week.
Right.
4 court cases, 2 of them were dropped, and he's doing 2 jail sentences. We got over that last week. Chris Henry, not the smartest guy, no.
Well, I mean, Chris Henry and the entire Bengals team, I don't really like to just put it on him. There's other players for the Bengals who have been in trouble, and it's just terrible. This organization is getting a terrible name, and, you know, they should just, also in the news, having to do with the NFL, with the Giants and the Dolphins playing in London, they should take the London team,
I want to bring something really fast. Before you get to we'll come back to the NFL line. I want to bring up something really fast. I know Jesse's really upset now, but I want to bring something up really fast about the Bengals situation. Okay, I know he's pulling his hair out and he's got to have a little hissy fit in front of me here, but
I'm not doing anything. I know what he's talking about.
But a reporter asked about the case. I want to bring this up because this is actually an important thing. A reporter asked about the case, and one of the entourage members of, you know, Chris Henry's posse, not Chris Henry, Chad Johnson's posse, which you went through about a minute ago, his posse, the members wagged his finger and said, "Don't do that." This Bengals team, maybe you're talking about the NFL Europe, now I wanted to segue into the NFL Europe, saying we should bring one of the NFL Europe teams over.
To replace the Bengals and just put all the Bengals players in jail.
And hopefully we bring it from, like, Germany, and none of them speak English, and it'll be great. No, they can't get in trouble with the law.
Not at
and
all.
And everything will be great.
They'll be exempt, and they won't know what steroids are, but, you know, I can guarantee you Paul Tagliabue, the guy's not so bright. I bet he'll ask
Paul
Germany.
Tagliabue is not the, he's not the commissioner of the NFL. No, there's a new commissioner of the NFL.
Well, whatever. Whoever the commissioner for the NFL is, they're gonna go to Germany and they're gonna say, "Can we have a football team?" And I guarantee you that they're gonna get a soccer team to come in. Roger Goodell, that's the new NFL.
Roger Goodell, yeah.
Guy.
He's the new
big top guy.
Yeah, that happened a long time ago. That happened in August. So
August 8th,
it was reported, and Roger Goodell, who never he rang through the NFL, and he was chosen by the league in August to become the. Anyway, he's great. I think he's doing a great job as the.
I disagree. I think he's doing a terrible job. One thing that I mean, it's not really his decision, but another thing with I forgot the name of the player. The guy who, he's not allowed out of the state because of his probation.
Tank Johnson.
He's not allowed out of the state of Illinois because of his probation. But yet they're letting him play in the Super Bowl.
That's a judge that ruled on that. That wasn't.
See, but I understand, and it's showing how the NFL has, you know, it's terrible that the judge would let this happen, because it's showing that the whole, you know, U.S. court system is a mockery. That you can, you know, I'm playing in the biggest game of the year. Can you just let it slide and say okay? I think the NFL should have made a statement or something, or criticized somebody, because you can't let that slide. That's completely it's completely ridiculous.
It is completely ridiculous. I see where you're getting at, Jesse, and it's like, it's terrible. You have players committing crimes, committing felonies, and going to, since they're playing in the Super Bowl, it's perfectly okay.
It's all right
to get out of the state. Say if, and the reason was, I had an argument. I talked to someone about this during the week, and somebody else told me that oh no, you know what? It's okay because he's doing his job. Yes, okay, yes,
oh,
he's doing
on.
Yes, he is doing his job, okay? Yeah, he's doing his job, and he's doing it great.
Yes, absolutely.
But it's not like he needs the money. When they say he's doing his job, he has a job to do, he doesn't need the money for this. He doesn't need the money from the Super Bowl. He does not need the money for this. He has plenty of money. It's not like he's working at a dead-end job, like going back to McDonald's with Kevin Federline. He's not like Kevin Federline working with that kind of a thing. So, you know, everything will be okay. If he doesn't play the Super Bowl, he'll still have his millions of dollars. Nothing bad will happen to him. He'll come back next year. He'll play next year. It'll be okay for Tank Johnson.
And another point that I want to make was, he said, I want to play because I'm letting my team down. Why don't you think of that when you were raping the girl, or, you know, serving underage alcohol?
No, that wasn't Tank Johnson. That was not Tank Johnson.
Whoever it was, you should have thought of that.
That wasn't the guy. He had gun. He had possession of weapons.
So then you should have thought of that when you bought the weapons from the guy on the street.
Well, I don't know how he bought the weapons. I don't know where he bought the weapons. What happened with the weapons? But he was found ammunition, weapons, and the whole thing in his house, and they under
the whole thing?
The whole thing.
The whole thing. They found the whole thing.
They found the whole thing. Okay. Let's get on to the NBA.
Jesse. NBA, my favorite league of them all. Besides the NHL, that is my other favorite league. There's no debating that. Apparently somebody told us that we need to talk more about topics, so we can't just stay on them for 3 seconds. So I'll give the NHL 4 seconds. And the NHL's 4 seconds is up. Moving on to NBA. The Knicks, Jamal Crawford scores 52 points against the Heat. And I don't like this. Jamal Crawford, to me, this guy, he scored. I've been to a Knicks game. He scored 0 points in 2 quarters at halftime. He scored 0 points and 2 assists. And I wondered myself, I was with Josh at the game, why is he in the game? He always ends up with the last shot, and sometimes he'll make it, and sometimes he won't. I just don't understand why he's doing this. He's not that great of a player. I don't like him starting. I've always said that David Lee is the best player on the Knicks team because he cares. He is the player that actually cares about his job. Other guys like Jamal Crawford, Eddie Curry, Stephon Marbury, excuse me. These guys don't care. They just drive up the court. Hopefully they get the shot in. They forget that their team is there. They don't rush to get back on offense or rush to get back on defense. And they're just lazy. And you spend so much money to go to a game, and you don't even get your money's worth.
Not with the Knicks. Definitely not with the Knicks.
You go to the Garden. All right, the most famous arena in the world in Midtown Manhattan. That's wonderful. But you get the $10 drinks. And you got the terrible ushers there.
Madison Square Garden is very overrated.
Oh, yeah. Overrated. It might be the most famous arena in the world. So what?
It's only because it was in New York. If Madison Square Garden was in the middle of Wisconsin.
Well, of course. Well, I mean, you have, like, the Grateful Dead has played there a million times. The Knicks in the, you know, in the past were great.
Knicks were
great. And that's why.
1873? I don't know.
They have the most valuable moments at the Garden.
A lot of great moments,
but I wouldn't bill it as the most famous arena in the world.
It shouldn't be the most famous arena in the world. To me, it is not the most famous arena in the world currently.
Then what is? Let's think of what it is.
What is the most famous arena in all the world?
I'd have to say the North Fork Theater at Westbury.
Jesse, okay.
We just went to a concert there last night.
You know what? I want to make a comment on that. Dave Mason. I don't know if you saw Dave. If anybody knows about Dave Mason, a very good artist. And I'm getting a little bit off topic here, but Dave Mason, very good.
Oh yeah, we won tickets from a radio station, and we went down to see Dave Mason. so much better than I expected.
Dave Mason's great. Very, very good.
Absolutely. He formed the band Traffic in the 60s, and he's Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. Absolutely great.
Absolutely. All right, let's get on to the Major League Baseball starting in just weeks.
What are your thoughts? Spring training. I am excited for this as a baseball fan. I say this almost every week. How can you not be excited? And this show in the summer is going to get so much more exciting because if you don't know, Josh and I, baseball is our thing.
We're going to bring the trusty tape recorder down to different ballparks each week. Mostly Shea Stadium.
But we'll get
points of view from both sides. You know, the Mets with the Brewers, with the Mets' point of view, with the Brewers' point of view. Maybe we'll have some special guests coming up on the show. We'll see. Let's see spring training pitchers and catchers for the Mets report in 12 days, 22 hours, 44 minutes, and
30 seconds.
30 seconds.
29 right now.
All right. Thank you for that. But I'm very excited as a Mets fan. I'm very excited for the upcoming season. I'm excited for baseball. It seems like the winter's gone by so fast. Pitchers and catchers report in less than 2 weeks.
It seems like just days ago the Mets had blew that game against the Cardinals, Game 7, the National League Championship Series. But we don't talk about that game. We don't talk about Billy Wagner and Aaron Hyland blowing the series for the Mets. So we're just going to talk about the positives and how baseball's coming up.
I want to bring up something else. I want to bring up Mike Piazza. Mike Piazza is going to be the Oakland A's this year. Going to be a DH.
Good for him.
Had a one-year contract last year with the San Diego Padres. I saw him come to the Shea Stadium, and it was a great reaction towards all the people there, from all the people at Shea Stadium. Yep.
He hit two home runs, actually, and they were cheering for him. First time I've ever seen anybody cheer at Shea Stadium when a person on the opposite team hits a home run.
That's right.
And the Mets ended up winning the game, so it was positive. Right.
I was at the game wondering, so if Mike Piazza's a grand slam, is like the Big Apple going to go up?
I'm not. It might. The home run apple, it might go up halfway, or the announcer might be like, yay, or I don't even know. But it was just a lot of fun at that game. And what were you going to say about Piazza with the A's?
No, Piazza's with the A's right now, and he's going to be the DH, which everyone thought he originally was going to do after his last season with the Mets in 2005.
He signed with the National League team.
He signed with the Padres. That was a big surprise to me. He's going to be with the Oakland A's, stay in the same state. I think he's going to have a lot of success as the DH.
I'm excited for him. I'm glad that he has this new opportunity. I'm glad that he's coming to Shea for another series. That's no accident.
No.
That's no accident.
Definitely not.
Obviously, that series will be sold out. But it's just exciting. And another thing with the baseball, the New York Mets signed Ruben Sierra. And I made a comment before that the Mets should start having a wheelchair ramp going into the stadium.
I was saying,
everybody on this team is getting old and decrepit. Why would Omar Minaya sign this guy? They already have Moises Alou playing left field. You have Jose Valentin at second base. We're like older than Father Time here on the Mets, but Omar Minaya has his ways. Omar Minaya, of course, signed.
I was thinking we should one of those like escalators. You know, you're having should pop out of the field. You know, you go to an airport and you have like the big walking.
Yeah,
thing.
That should be.
That should be going.
Yeah, there's no more walking down the tunnel. There's gliding down the tunnel.
No, Moises Alou might need one of those things just to get from left field all the way back to the dugout.
Yeah, but as I was saying before, Omar and I always has his ways.
Talking about old with the Julio Franco. What is
guy?
He signed until he's 50. This guy signed until he's 50. He's the oldest person ever play. Hit a home run last year in. I think it was Boston. He hit a home run last year. No, where was it?
Maybe I know it was to right field. I remember the image of.
I remember the image too, but.
But you know, whatever. Anyway. Omar Minaya always has his ways when he signs people. Look, last year, he signed. He signed Xavier Nady to a contract, and no, he didn't. He signed him to a contract, but they traded him. They traded away Mike Cameron to get Xavier Nady. And at the time, I remember sitting down when watching this. I was saying, you know, why would they do this? I've never heard of Xavier Nady before that from the Padres. At that point, I paid a little more attention to the Padres this year because Piazza was on it. But besides that, I'd never heard of this guy Xavier Nady. And you know, they traded away Cameron, who I had a lot of respect for. He didn't play too much that season, and the Mets didn't make the playoffs because of that horrible crash in San Diego. Actually, ironic enough. And they traded him away. And I didn't have any confidence in Xavier Nnadi. Yeah, but Omar Minaya obviously saw something. And the guy had a great first season for the Mets. And we traded him away for some very valuable pitching that was very helpful down the road. So it was such a good idea for him to sign this guy. And I definitely think that Omar Minaya has his ways. And he sees something in this guy, in Ruben Sierra here. And maybe he'll do well. Maybe he'll have a good season. Maybe he'll be like a Jose Valentin.
He's gonna be a bench player. He's not gonna be an everyday player.
So if he's coming off the bench but the and Mets, getting hits,
but these bench players have done good for the Mets in the past years. We've lost Chris Woodward. I think this is, you know, I liked Woody a lot. I liked Woody a lot. But you know, we have to get to more baseball from like around the country because you know you listen to us. We have some listeners in Africa supposedly. So I don't know what
baseball. Jumbo.
I don't know what team you like in Africa, but.
Oh, everything baseball's going around.
We'll keep you. Baseball's very. I'm very excited for baseball coming up.
Obviously, it's too hard to cover all of baseball because you got so much. Now is the time. Like you have the Super Bowl. You have the NBA heating up. You have the NHL cooling down. Ice joke there.
You have March Madness Final Four coming up, that's when you know everything's coming to full swing. Spring, summer's coming its way.
And then April rolls around, you got baseball.
Jesse, I think we should do our early picks for division winners and some wild card winners right now.
Do our picks for each league?
I think we should really do our picks for each league because why not? It's early. We're both in a baseball mood. I don't think anybody's going to be too upset that we do some of this now and I'm paying.
So let's go for it right now.
Let's go for it. Okay.
I'm going to start off with the American League East.
Now, the Boston was okay last year. They fly after losing five in a row to the Yankees. It was five in a row, I think it was. To the Yankees, it was just over for them after that. This year, they picked up some new players.
Japanese guy.
They've got a new center fielder. What do you think? Well, who do you think has the NL East?
AL East,
I'm sorry.
New York Yankees. As much as I hate to say it, I can't see the Red Sox winning the division. I can see the Red Sox winning the wild card, and I think they will. But I cannot see the Red Sox losing. Winning. Definitely Yankees. As much as a Mets fan, I hate to say it, but go Yankees.
Well, as you see, when you take a look in the standings, Boston was 86-76 last year. After that Yankee series in August, it was basically over. The Yankees winning 11 more games.
They won that big five-game series, right?
And Toronto was a little better. Toronto is another team to look out for.
I was thinking that. I was definitely thinking Toronto has a better chance than they did in past years. Toronto, I think they signed Overbay to another contract. That's good for them.
Yeah, Overbay is a great player.
He's a very good player. He's very clutch. He's a good fielder, great hitter, good player to have. Toronto has the pitching, and I think it's time. It's swinging around. They've been waiting for a very long time, and I think this is like the seasons of change, as they say. And I think the AL East might shift a little bit. I could definitely see Toronto, you know, winning that game.
Winning the
wild card. Don't think they can beat the Yankees.
Okay. Okay, in the AL Central, you got Minnesota as a prime player, but you got Detroit there, too.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot rule Detroit out going to the World Series last year against St. Louis, obviously losing it. And then you got the Chicago White Sox, can't rule them out either. Cleveland, could they be?
They had a great season before.
In 2005, they came back. Very young team. I could see something happening there. Mm. That's going to be a close division. Who do you got there?
I've got Kansas City, actually. Kansas City, 34 games.
Jesse
with the funnies. That Central is going to be even more of a shaky division. Maybe even more than the AL East. I'm going to go with Detroit because last year they were playing with intensity and obviously they made it to the World Series, but it couldn't have. No matter who won that series, the National League was going to win because it was coming off an emotional Game 7, an emotional series.
All the players were pumped.
And another thing was that Detroit had that week or two off because they had won against they'd won against the Yankees, correct?
No. Yes, maybe.
So they won the championship series in 4 or 5 games, and that. Definitely, they had a week, even more than a week, to just play, but they didn't. They sat and they just relaxed. And It was them, yes, the Relax yes. team, versus yes. the versus the Cardinals, who had been playing for a week straight, but they had just came off like a big win, you know, a big home run to end the series, and they clashed, and Detroit, you know, came out on the bottom. There's nothing you can do.
Actually, Detroit played Oakland last. Their last game was against Oakland. Okay. If you did not know that, okay.
In the West, West is also a very shaky division. Very, Oakland very finishing shaky. in first place, last year. Los Angeles. Very good team in Los Angeles.
Okay. They're not a very good team. You can't.
Los Angeles, Anaheim. They're all right.
The Anaheim Angels of.
The Los Angeles Angels of
Anaheim. Anaheim. There you go.
Because technically.
You have to say it right.
Yes, you do.
You have to say it because the owner wanted to change it. It's a whole stupid thing.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Just stay the Angels. It doesn't really matter. Texas, of course.
There's no way you don't take Oklahoma.
No. Texas, of course, I'm saying in the division, I think they'll finish last. But that's not really that big of a division. I could definitely see Oakland coming out on top with the addition of Piazza in the clutch.
Oh, Piazza's not. I don't see Piazza making a huge difference to that team. Yeah.
No, I definitely see him.
Yeah, he'll hit a couple more home runs, but he grounds out a lot.
No, I can see him.
Piazza grounds out
a lot. He gets a lot of line drive doubles and singles.
Piazza's slow. He grounds out a lot. Piazza.
He is getting old. There's no way around it. He's getting old. But. You're going to get what you want from Piazza. You're going to get what you expect, I should say, actually. He'll hit 10, 15, maybe even 20 home runs, but he won't... there's no way that he will, obviously, come in the clutches he did for the Mets and even looking back as for the Dodgers, but he'll be a good addition for the team, and it's definitely a good idea for them to have him on his team.
Okay, NL East, of course, which is one of my favorite division. Your favorite division too. You gotta take the Mets. Take the Mets after last year. Philadelphia's gonna be a better of a team this year. Atlanta's gonna be a better team this year. I don't see Florida being that good of a team. They signed Dontrell Willis for a longer contract. Fine. There's no team. This salary is about $14 million.
The only thing that I see from them, obviously, clearly the Mets are gonna win the division. Knock on wood, of course, for that one, but. When I look at the standings, it's usually always Atlanta, New York, Philadelphia, Florida, and then either Washington or Montreal, I suppose.
Washington/ Montreal.
You see, the Phillies have moved up, and Atlanta is now in third. That is huge. The power has shifted in this division. This is big. Atlanta no longer has
that. It was only a 6-game lead, but...
But I'm saying the Mets had not won the division for so long.
The Mets lead, first place, was 12 games.
That is incredible. 18 games in front of Atlanta, but 12 games in front of Philly. And they just... They won the division in mid-September. They didn't even need to play out September.
They
won it in mid-September.
Okay, we have a little more time left. Go the Central Division... Gotta take the Cardinals, no question. Houston's been a great team. They lost. They've lost Andy Pettitte and Roger
Clemens. They will lose Roger Clemens to the Yankees. They will.
I don't think Roger Clemens is going to the Yankees. Really fast. The West.
That's going to be a tough division. Also,
the worst division of all baseball.
It's going to be tough because they all stink.
They all stink. 88-74.
There was a tie between San Diego and Los Angeles last year. A tie, and then of course you have San Francisco 11.5 games back. I see San Francisco doing nothing this year.
They signed Barry Bonds, obviously everyone knows they signed
Barry
Bonds.
Who cares? I still see them doing absolutely nothing. They lost Moise Alou. I really thought that he was a good player on that team.
Moise Alou was a great player, but then he's old now. The guy.
I'm saying though, it's definitely detrimental to the Giants because he was the wisdom of that team. And now you have Barry Bonds, the wisdom. He can tell you how to shoot up the steroids correctly. If he sees a guy doing it into his hand, he goes, "No, it's better to do it in
Barry
this spot."
Bonds is- I don't like Barry Bonds only because of
I don't like him at all.
I don't like Barry Bonds. His personality is hard. I hate his personality.
He doesn't seem like that nice.
He's
like
a little crybaby, and he just pisses. Every time I see Barry Bonds, I think about why this guy gets all this media attention. When I think of Barry Bonds, I don't think of him as a home run leader. I think of him as a jerk, a guy who's done things he shouldn't have done in his past, and. He's just one of those people which I cannot stand.
And also, what if he hits the home runs? I doubt that he will get the home runs that he needs to pass Hank Aaron. But if he does, I can definitely see Bud Selig taking it away from him.
Bud Selig. Because
he's lied. It's not even definite that he's taking the drugs. Obviously, we know that it is. We can all speculate that. But at this point, He's lied about it. He lied to Congress. He lied to everybody. It's just a bad situation.
Barry Bonds. Barroy Bonds.
Barroy.
Barroy Bonds. I'll catch you back next week on Teen Talk Sports. Send an email to us, podcast, teentalksports.com, 206-203-0033. We'll catch you back next week. Have a great weekend, y'all.